The final speaker in our series, Doing Community with Jesus, is the Reverend Kirk Davis. Amongst the amazing list of activities in which Kirk is active, he used to be a youth pastor. He was the chaplain at Juvenile Hall. He founded an organization called Rooted, which advocates for the marginalized in San Francisco. And currently he is a part of an experimental community called Kairos, which is pursuing change for mission in the world. That is just a small sampling of the experience that he brings to our digital pulpit this morning. So I am really looking forward to hearing from Kirk Davis.
Hey there, everyone. How are you? Glad to be with you guys today. I'm excited to be hanging out and maybe sharing some things with you. I'm looking forward to what God is going to do today with us. For those who don't know, who are just getting this information, my name is Kirk Davis. I'm the pastor here at Kairos Fellowship here in Bayview, Hunters Point. And I'm excited to be here with you guys today. Got a few things that I would love to share with you. Number one, I think I'm going to share this picture with you if I can. This picture with my wife and my kids. That's me over there in the, I guess you would call that the far right corner. My daughter, my wife, my youngest son, Isaiah, and Curtis, my daughter, Destiny, my wife, Denise, my son Isaiah, and then Curtis, who's there at the bottom. It's my daughter's 30th birthday, and we were just excited to celebrate with her, her 30th birthday. There's so much that I'd like to talk to you about. We're a brand new fellowship. We're a brand new group of people who are just really deciding to be in community with one another. We are doing work that looks a little different than the normal church plant. What we've decided is to be a church that helps plant planters, basically to plant other folks in ministry. What you hear pretty much is that 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. Well, I like to say maybe it's the math I learned at Mission High School in San Francisco, Blaine Public School, but I believe 20% of the people are doing 100% of the work, meaning that there's only a few people who are really doing a lot of the work. But I believe this, those 20% are going to make an incredible impact for society, for the world. And we want to get around the church that we're trying to plant is that we're going to support that 20 to be a hub, to be a place for them to get encouraged, to be empowered, to be equipped to do the work of God. At this moment, we believe that, and you probably are feeling it as well, that we are a church or that we are people of God in transition. We're right now in a way of just trying to break down barriers and break down structures, and we're emerging in different kind of ways. And it feels like so much that this is a time of crisis, a time of just hurt and just a time of so much pain. As we're experiencing this week, what's happening in Wisconsin, and just the stuff that we've already felt with Ahmaud Arbery, we felt with George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. We know that this time is just filled with these type of crises, and we're faced with a growing injustice and violence. And we want to feel like, what does it mean for the church to step into today? And at the same time, what is the church doing with how we think towards people who are in the middle of this? I've been preaching a long time, and actually I've been preaching since 1984, which is a little bit, but I've actually changed a little bit of how I've been preaching. I grew up traditionally in a Black Baptist church. And then about time I was 18, when I gave my life to Christ, I joined a Baptist-Costal church. And I don't know about y'all, but that gave me some oomph, you know, like it really excited me. I was able to do some things that were really fun. We danced around church and we shouted and had a good time. But to me right now, I knew that my, particularly around Trayvon Martin, my preaching had to change. And I started being honest and a little bit more direct in my message. And I hope today you will not be offended, but really hear God, that God, I believe, has put something in me to be a prophetic voice for right now, to speak into the right now. And that is to talk about how do we repair broken systems along with repairing broken people. In order to engage in this very beautiful reconciliation that we talk about. I believe that reconciliation is happening, but amongst people, conciliation hasn't happened. You can't have reconciliation until you've had conciliation. In other words, reconciliation means you've had it before, and now I'm saying, for a lot of us, we've never really had it. I think, what does it mean for us to now to reconcile both the gospel of liberation and the reality of Black and brown folks in today's society? Today, we're talking about doing justice with Jesus. Excuse me, doing justice, doing community with Jesus. And I do believe that it is a justice work, that we walk in common unity with Jesus. What are the things that he cares about? What are the things that he sees? What are the things that if we walked with him today, what would it be the things that he personally is engaged with? See, I realize that we are living in a very upside down world. I don't know about you, but I used to read these comics, Batman and Superman. And there was one particular comic that dealt with what they called the Bizarro world, where the world was literally upside down, and that what was wrong is right and what was right is wrong. And I think I'm starting to feel this Bizarro land. I'm starting to feel like that's where I live. I mean, just recently what happened in Milwaukee with a man being shot 7 times in the back for reportedly having a knife, not on him, but possibly in the car. Now, there's a lot of things that are still up in the air, but being shot 7 times. And then after that, the upheaval in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, and the upheaval in that particular city. And then the other night, that a 17-year-old young man was supposedly there to protect. First of all, what are you doing at 17 years old at midnight trying to protect a property that and in a state that you don't even live in? It's a bizarro time, guys. Come on, can you admit it with me? This feels weird. Man, not only are we in a pandemic, not only am I preaching to you through this screen, not only am I talking to you this way, but man, we're dealing with some other pandemics. We're dealing with some other stuff today. And I don't know about you, but it feels like for me, as a African-American male, a Black man living in America, that this white dominant culture that we've been living in, it feels like I'm a threat, and I'm an endangered species. Some of y'all saw probably last year the last Black man in San Francisco, and I feel that way. I feel like an endangered species. I feel like that my life really doesn't matter, and it feels malicious. It feels hurtful. It feels intentional. And I know as we brave these conversations, that it is more difficult to listen to. Matter of fact, it's partly hard for us to accept. I've chosen to always remember and affirm that my truth, my spirituality, my life, and my identity are rooted in the Black community, rooted in my faith, and I was raised to believe and live a certain way. My parents, I feel, have the immigrant story. The immigrant story is that my parents left the Jim Crow South, New Orleans, Louisiana, and Gretna, Louisiana, as they say, crossed the water from New Orleans, to come to San Francisco for a better life for their family, to come to San Francisco so they wouldn't have to raise their children in this crazy, bizarro land. And I don't know, man. I feel like things are really interesting right now. I feel like we need to anchor ourselves even more in our faith, and that we understand what it means to seek justice, to seek equality, and to seek God's shalom for the city and for our country. Jesus literally came and shows up. And he showed up in a messy place. My mantra is that life is a beautiful mess. And I don't know about you, but for me, I constantly think that way, that life is both beautiful, it has all its gorgeousness, it has all its beauty. Come on, drive to Napa, California, or drive to Yosemite, drive through some of these beautiful places. You could see the beauty of God and the beauty of his creation and the beauty of what, when man connects with that creation and what they can create. God is amazing, but there is such messiness, such brokenness, so much hurt and so much pain with the marginalized, with the poor, and with the disenfranchised, with immigrants, and how we treat our brothers and sisters. It's broken. I don't know about you, but I think my faith life has me moving in a trajectory that allows me to not stay numb. And I would encourage you too, that be careful about how much TV you're watching. Be careful what news agencies continue to pump a certain kind of narrative, whether Republican or Democratic. They both are pumping an agenda. I want to tell you, get into your word, pray, be in community with others, because you want to be informed by that, not by other people's opinion. Because what they'll do is have you live in fear and not have you live in faith, not have you live in the way God would have you to live. So today, before I get started, I would love to do this. And I'm going to share this, and then we're going to go right to the scripture. We're going to go to John 5. But before we do that, I want to share something with you that I think is helpful, that'll allow you to see some things that might actually allow you to hear a little different, to step in a little different, to walk a little different. So I want to do this right now.
No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice.
I don't know justice. And I haven't met peace. I mean, I was told that I met her. I was told that she's been around here, but I think they must be confused. Maybe they're confused with silence. In fact, I asked her, I asked Silence, and she said, nah, young man, peace don't live around here. She said she don't even look like that queen. She sings, carries a big sword, and her smile is clean. Her hair is natural, and her rings like bells. And on heels, she sits a little taller than Justice. I don't know Justice. And I haven't met Peace. Injustice. She said Justice's arms are long and his embrace is strong, and you can hear every step he takes. No, not every step he asks for, every step he takes. No, not every step that is given, every step he takes. She said, Royce, go back and tell them they got me wrong. I am silent. And my cousins are dumb, hush, mute, shut up, settle, sit still. Royce, you know them. Justice, and I haven't met Peace. I've been waiting for them to pull up in one accord, but I can't wait much longer. These arms ain't much stronger, but they strong though. Shoot, I'll pat myself on the back. Look in the mirror, don't know how to act. I'm black. What does that mean anyway? A word full of culture but void of identity. That's why I gotta love my enemy. Now don't get me wrong, I haven't always walked around proud, but even when I did it, I put my fist up and I said it loud. I'm black. I don't know justice, and I haven't met peace. And I can't help but wonder how it feels if I could say it with peace and justice, whipping in that one accord. I wanna know him. I wanna see him. I wanna talk to him. I want to kick it with the same folks they roll with, like freedom and liberty and opportunity. I want to breathe, not inhale, but inhale, exhale, inhale. Now you said it, and I'm flattered. You even used the hashtag Black Lives Matter. But when Yeshua left the mini for the one, I knew my Black Life Matter. Before the hashtag was relevant, my skin is heaven. But I don't know justice, and I haven't met peace. I wish I could walk away from this microphone telling you that I met him, but I can't. I believe in a redeemer. I believe in a God of creation. And I can't. Because I don't know justice, and I haven't met peace. But I tell you this, I'ma keep looking, I'ma keep pushing, I'ma keep shaking, I'ma keep talking, I'ma keep yelling, I'ma keep learning, I'ma keep voting, I'ma keep engaging, and I'ma keep growing. Because I'm going to meet him, and when I meet him, I'ma take him to my school. I'ma bring him to my home. I'ma bring him to my job. I'ma bring him to my hood. I'ma bring him to my friends. I'ma bring him to my father. I'ma bring him to my mother. I'ma bring him to my sister. I'ma bring him to my brother. I'ma bring him to the jail. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Because I don't know justice. And I haven't met peace. We ain't got to die no more. Love is what we're fighting for. I know that I'm worth more than a t-shirt. We ain't got to die no more. Love is what we're fighting for. I know that I'm worth more than a t-shirt. 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 T-shirt.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you saw this as an opportunity to lean in and to listen. Father, we thank you for your word and what you will share. I pray that today that this word would fall on good ground and that these seeds would germinate. And Father, that it will be true that God, that you are present with us. We thank you. We give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, this morning, I want you to turn to John 5. John 5 is really interesting because it's out of John, the fourth chapter. Some of y'all might remember the whole relationship with the Samaritan woman, the woman who comes to the well, the woman who begins to look at the well and have a relationship with Jesus and begins to speak some truths about herself. And Jesus speaks into her life. Really begins to say some things that are pretty powerful that I don't know if you understand and know, but I think if we begin to look, we could begin to look a little deeper. Here, after all that he does with her, he now steps into the city of Jerusalem. He leaves the place with the Samaritan woman. He leaves Samaria and goes through Galilee back into Jerusalem. And it says this in John, the fifth chapter, reading from the New Living Translation. Afterwards, Jesus returned to Jerusalem to one of the Jewish for one of the Jewish holidays. Inside the city, near the Sheep Gate, was the Pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him, he knew he had been ill for a long time, and he asked, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man says, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But the miracle had happened on the Sabbath. Today, as we talk about doing community with Jesus, I want you to recognize that in doing community with Jesus, we have to look at Jesus and begin to see how he did community. Jesus walks back from Galilee into Jerusalem during this very festive time. I don't know if it was New Year's or Christmas or, and you know, it feels like if you read the scriptures that there's always a festival going on. There's always a festivity going on. There's always food and drink and liveliness in the city. But Jesus goes into the town where this festival was, where the economic center of everything was, where there was finances and banks and areas of where commerce was happening. And Jesus walks through the economic center into a very obscure spot. He walks past, for me who live in San Francisco, he walks through the financial district. He walks through by Coit Tower. He walks and sees Pier 39. He sees all the financial structures. He sees Twitter. He sees Google downtown. He sees all the beauty of downtown, and he walks to a neighborhood like the Tenderloin, like Bayview Hunters Point. He walks to the place where most people said the festivity is not for you. See, he walks basically to the other side of the tracks, as you might say. He walks through all the beauty of what we consider beautiful. He walks by churches. He walks past synagogues. He walks past the mosque. He walks by all the spiritualness of people. And it was on the Sabbath. Some people on this side of town on the side of the financial beautiful town was having a good time. Their economy is good. Their children are in better schools. They got a chance to go to the right Christian school. They got a chance to go to the right school that helped them with their AP scores, that healthcare wasn't an issue, the environment wasn't an issue, there's no gates anywhere, there's the perfect situation for everybody to be happy. They don't live in a food desert. They have everything they need. They don't have racial disparity. They don't have systematic injustices happen. The cops show up when they call. Matter of fact, they walk the beat and they get to know the neighborhood. They are going on with the festival and they are just enjoying themselves while others are experiencing the pandemic of racial injustice, the pandemic of you're those people and I don't touch you and I you're unclean and you're not worth touching. See, the thing is that if you're not careful, church, we become the people who watch other people and we only want to do services for people, not with people. I don't know about you, but when I'm talking about doing community with Jesus, oftentimes we get to do it talking about justice work. And I want to say to you that love-rooted justice should aim to speak the truth to power, to reconcile the divides, to heal the land, and breathe a liberating way forward. Not just to enjoy the party, not just to enjoy the pew, not to just enjoy the Zoom call. But what does it mean for us to step into people's lives? So will we be like Jesus to go past the festivities to places where the most vulnerable are, where the marginalized live, one who wished that they just had access? Right now, we're dealing with the corona pandemic. And right now, in certain neighborhoods, kids can't get online so they could go to school. But of course, some of us don't think about that. We think, well, I got Wi-Fi. Doesn't everybody have Wi-Fi? Doesn't everybody have access to an iPad or a computer? No. Sometimes justice, doing community with Jesus, is standing for people who don't have a voice. Jesus went past it all, and he met a man. See, the first thing about our faith is our faith has to go beyond it's good for me and it feels good. But Jesus, literally, one of the first things he does, and one of the first things I want you to write right here is he decides to encounter. I want you to write that word down. He decides to encounter. Look at what happens. Afterwards, Jesus returned from Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holidays inside the city where the sheep gates were. He walks to these places where they call them porches. Crowds of blind, lame, paralyzed lay at the porch. Jesus walks to a place where people are hurting. I don't know about you, but doing community with Jesus is not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be easy. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not talking about the regular comfortable. Not comfortable, because a lot of us are. I go share. I go serve at the shelter. I go. It's going to push you past your comfortability. Real relationship with Jesus is uncomfortable. Come on, let's be honest. I don't want to pray. Sometimes God pushes me to pray, pushes me to read my word, pushes me to talk to people I might not ever have talked to in life, pushes me to engage people in ways that I never would have engaged before. See, God wants me to deal with my indifference, to others or how I see others. He wants me to start dealing with my biases, my fears, my angsts. He pushes me. What is God pushing you into? What is God calling you to encounter, to step into? Is he asking you to step into this very racialized moment? I know. Let me be careful here. That doesn't mean I step in with my race. I step in to listen and maybe even empathize. I don't know about you, but there is generations of people who have been broken and hurt. And it doesn't mean I get it, but let me step in enough to step close enough so I can identify with their pain, so I can understand. God wants me to be just like he was, to be incarnate, to be Emmanuel. To step in and say, God with us. The church is supposed to be Emmanuel in these communities. To be Emmanuel, to step in that God shows up because he's with you and he shows up in you. To show up in food deserts, to show up with and speak to healthcare disparities, to show up to help kids get better schools, to show up when communities have been redlined so they can't have wealth, so they can't move forward. What does it mean for us to begin to start thinking about that? Jesus does the next thing. He encounters first, and then he does this thing where he literally says, would you like to get well? I don't know about you, but boy, Jesus is straight up a disruptor sometimes. I'm going to put my iPad down, and I'm going to look right here. Has Jesus, not only when he encountered you, was it disruptive? Did it change some things? Did it ruin how you thought you saw the world? Did it change your worldview? And if it did, and now your worldview you feel is perfect and right, I want to encourage you that God is trying to disrupt you even now. Mm-hmm. That he's encountering you and he's trying to disrupt your worldview because he wants you to do community, to do common unity with him. Not just to wait till first Sunday to take communion with him, but to go and say, I identify, I see, I hear, I come near, I welcome you in, I speak to you, I say hello to you, I embrace you. All the things that you know you don't deserve from God, but God gives to you. And God asks us to be that kind of disruptor, to walk past people, past perfect situations, and ask the question, do you want to get well? Nah, I'm not telling you to say something crazy, but I am asking you to think about, why are people in this situation? How did people get here? Somebody told me the story of the person who was getting babies out of the river, and he was patting himself on the back because he was just seeing babies in the river and he's just getting them out. But the bigger question is, can you go up river and see why babies are being thrown in the river? Because it's easy to pat yourself on the back. Oh, I gave people food today. I did a pantry. I did a Bible study with homeless people. I encountered the foster care system, and I did a group discussion with them, and we had a good conversation, and they told me their story. If I could say this one time, and I don't know how long I got, but I'm gonna be quick. Stop asking people so much for their story. Why don't you get real with your story and begin to tell them the story of your brokenness and the mess that God got you out of? So then they'll feel free in a safe space to talk about their story. Be a disruptor. Encounter and then disrupt. The next thing is not only to encounter and not only to disrupt, but then Jesus says in this very unique way, he says, the guy says, someone is always there ahead of me. Someone gets in the way. So there's a system that's in place that is not only designed against me to get there, but it is structural. I can't get there. That there are systems and structures. Doesn't that sound like what's happening today? That there are systems and structures that seem to prevent African Americans, people of color, immigrants from getting to a place where we call this American beauty that we are supposed to receive, this excitingness that America is supposed to give us. God says this, or Jesus says this. Someone else always keeps getting away. So Jesus does this. He says, Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. And instantly the man was healed. I want to say, first of all, he tells the man, stand up, pick up your mat, and the guy starts to walk. I want to say to you, is it possible after you've encountered and after you've walked in a disruptive way of both listening and hearing and saying, have I been hearing wrong? Have I been listening wrong? And then reimagine something different for them. Because I think what happens is the church gets excited about keep going to the shelters or keep feeding people. We get excited with just doing that. And I don't even know the word for it, but we want to keep embracing this place of, oh, look at how great we do. But can we reimagine something for them? Can we reimagine something different for them? What if we, when we do communion, what if we had, when we get back from Corona, that is, when we get back from the Rona, what if the church invited homeless people into their church and allowed them to serve communion? I know, I'm kicking on some sacred cows. Instead of doing something for people, you do something with people, that you reimagine something different for them. I think Jesus steps into this. Jesus definitely steps into this reimagining. Like, I believe you should be, stand up, get up. He first had to see something different for them. But he had to be there present for that to happen. Jesus does this. Will we allow our colonized version of scripture, our colonized version of how we see Jesus, that we keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result? God is saying, it's time to chase daylight, to go for something different, to break the barriers. No, I'm not trying to say, don't be a Christian or don't do, but I am saying, it's time to reimagine. Can we rethink, reclaim, restore, reinvest? Can we do that? I'm thankful, guys. The last thing I want to say is this, is that the man does this. He picks up his mat. He begins to head out, and he walks out. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath, it says. Verse 9. So the Jewish leaders objected. They said to the man, "Who cured you? You can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry a sleeping mat." What is it about our faith that keeps us from seeing the bigger picture? I want to tell you, I almost wore my politically agnostic shirt, but today I'm wearing my busy making my ancestors proud. I believe I'm making my grandfather proud, who was a pastor in New Orleans, who paid poll taxes so people could vote. It's time, y'all. It's time to take the limits off, take the parameters off. It's time to even look into your own self. If we're going to do community with Jesus, we're going to actually look at, what is the community that I'm in right now? What are the things that I've been saying yes to? What are the things that I've been agreeing to? What are the things that I've been doing exactly the same mode, the same effort, the same things? Am I going to decide to be in community with Jesus, or am I going to remain comfortable? Am I going to remain in my comfortable place of how I see church, done church, been with church? Am I going to keep allowing a government, or allowing this white supremacist system to keep governing how people are treated? And do I need to engage it? Do I need to disrupt it? Do I need to take action? Do I need to do something else different? Because the truth is, God is calling me to not only encounter it, to disrupt it, but to reimagine it. Come on in, y'all. I want to say, and this is how I'll close, are you the man at the pool? No, see, because a lot of times we read scriptures as if it's somebody else. Maybe it's you who are at the pool and you don't realize that America and its Western culture has entangled itself with your Christianity. It's entangled itself in such a way that you can't see the difference. It looks the same. And maybe you're stuck by the pool. And I believe Jesus walks past. He walks past all that stuff. He walks past all the things that you did, and he's headed towards you. And I want you to say, maybe it's you that needs to say, "Man, I just want to be well. I want to get up. I want to walk. I want to be well." And what if Jesus is asking you to be in community, to do community with Jesus? What if he's asking, would you like to be well? Do you? Is there something that you might decide? You got to, first of all, you got to maybe decide, am I well? Am I okay? Ask yourself the question. Is the way we've been doing my faith, my church, the way my worldview is, am I okay? Am I, am I too comfortable? Jesus says to you today, stand up, pick up, walk. I don't care if you've been going to church all your life. I don't care if you're a veteran in church. I don't care if you've been teaching Sunday school, vacation Bible school, you're an elder, you sit on a session, or wherever your governing way of doing things. Do you want to be well? God is calling you to do community with him. Get up, take up your mat and walk. Come with me. The last word is that I'm using is this. Once you have had an encounter, once you've been, once there's been a disruption, you have then had a reimagination. And the last word is, it's time to take action. You're going to have to decide. You're going to have to move. You're going to have to literally say, I had a word from the Lord, and he told me to get up. Bob Marley style, get up, stand up, to actually be ready to move. That we're not going to keep separating me and my faith, my political views, my worldview, that we don't have this separate place, but that we'll do everything as one thing, to be in common unity with Yeshua. Jesus is calling you. Thank you so much for this time. I appreciate being present with you guys. I hope this wasn't too long. I hope you heard me. And I can't wait to visit you after the Rona is over. I know you've heard from a lot of other people, and I've heard them. They gave a great word. Shout out to all the preachers that spoke. I appreciate your pastor for being brave enough. I think there's something to this, guys. He was brave enough to say, this is a thing, this is a topic we need to address. I appreciate you guys, and I hope you heard the word of the Lord today. God bless you. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.